This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Oh, we got a lot to get to. Starting out this sports week, hot and heavy. The Broncos play football this week. They'll be playing preseason game one on Friday. We'll get into some Bronco quick hits from training camp. Chris Dempsey will join us at the bottom of the hour. There's never an offseason in any of the sports we talk about, by the way. So Dempsey's going to talk to us. This Peyton Watson thing's getting strange. The WNBA, guys, this is a very unserious league at this point. And it doesn't have to be that way. We'll get to it. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, will join us as well. Drew Brees had his Hall of Fame induction and had a lot of interesting things to say about his old coach, Sean Payton. It had me thinking how lucky we are. Honestly, yeah, how lucky we are to have this dude as the head coach. Keeler had a fun story on Nikola Jokic. She said, no more Mr. Nice Guy. What does that mean? The whole show starts right now. Coach Bruce Dick, welcome back. And Mike Kruger on, talking all things Chassa. Some great text coming in there on that note. So, Michael, the football season is upon us here, not just for the Denver Broncos, but not just for the college scene either, but in the prep scene. Coach Bruce Dick is going to be starting his high school football, or our high school football training camp coverage tonight at 5 o'clock, thanks to Pro Design Countertops.
In Kersey, by the way.
In Kersey. I was going to say that, Mike. Don't try to one-up me. This is not one-up day. This is a big day. So, Coach Bruce Dick, keep an eye out on our social media pages for all things and updates on which team, where Bruce is going before we start high school football broadcast. Still kind of working on a few things, but maybe as early as next Friday, and we'll have football night in Northern Colorado make its triumphant return. Kyle Johnson's going to be in studio for that, for pre-show, also talk about just football in general, as well as scoreboard updates throughout the night. So keeping that tradition going. Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick will be on the broadcast this year. How about that? Jerry, Hall of Fame legend kind of guys, right? Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick. Broncos training camp, quick hits. We'll get to some of those. Pat Bryant apparently is really stepping it up. You have, you know, Waddle kind of nursing a, I don't want to say the I word. I don't want to say injury because that makes it sound too serious. But it doesn't sound like it's too serious at this point, so they're kind of just being cautious with him. Cortland Sutton's been taking a lot of veteran rest days, so it has allowed for a guy like Pat Bryant to really step up. Jonah Coleman continues to turn heads. Vance Joseph kind of guided practice. He guided the team while Sean Payton was out for the Hall of Fame induction. And, man, that was cool hearing from Drew Brees and his thoughts on Sean. And we'll get to that a little bit later on. But it does, you know, hearing Vance Joseph running camp. Here's the thing. If things go the way Broncos country wants and possibly believes that it could go, then you're not going to have Vance Joseph next year. You might not have Davis Webb. If Davis Webb, who was in the running for the Raiders job, I don't know that he would have gotten it. Clint Kubiak still might have got it anyway, but he was in the running. If he was already in the running after never being a coordinator, then if this offense puts together four quarters more often than not, and you look at it and say, well, what changed? What was the difference? Was it Bo just getting better? Was it Davis Webb? working closer with Bo? Was it the timing of his offensive play calling? All of that. Maybe it's going to be all of it. But if that goes well, then you could theoretically be replacing two coordinators at the end of the season. It's always a good problem to have, but that's what you're rooting for. Is this Denver defense to be dominant as always, and for this offense to not kind of wait until snippets of the game, especially the fourth quarter, and then you could be having you'd be in a situation where it's a good problem to have. How about Red Murdoch, Mike? He continues to have people talking about him, and that's a dude. He's a fan favorite because he was their last pick, right? He was Mr. Irrelevant.
Yes.
Mr. Irrelevant, a name like Red, forced fumbles like crazy. Apparently he's been doing that in training camp. He's making a sneaky push to not start. I don't think he's going to take Singleton or Sternad's job, not at this point anyway. But he's making a strong push from all the reports that he could be in the mix, in the rotation, and actually get a lot of playing time this upcoming season.
So what you're saying is... The Broncos might have another successful draft.
Yeah.
They were graded a B.
They what?
They were graded a B.
Which is fine. I mean, the draft grades don't mean anything. And you know what's funny? We always say, talk to us in 2 to 3 years after that draft and then let's grade. We don't really do that either. So I guess they kind of have to do their grades. Like, fantasy football, by the way, last year, I was graded an F, Michael. I made the playoffs, okay? So I was given an F, and Bruce made fun of me. And Bruce, of course, is hosting the next draft, which means he lost.
And what does that mean?
That means he was dead last.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and listen, you know, this year's going to be different. This is going to be my year.
Who's commissioner?
I don't know. Derbs, I think?
I will be commissioner.
No. Unless you want to play. You want to get in on this?
I don't enjoy fantasy football.
Well,
I just
you
want
can
to pick
just
all Broncos.
Pretend. Well, I think if you joined, all of us would make it a point to draft all the Broncos to keep them out of your grasp.
Well, then I would pick backup players.
We'd just draft those two, and it'd all be terrible. But you wouldn't have any Broncos, so that might be the victory is you being unhappy.
I'd have Jarrett Stidham as my starter.
See, like GoPoke says, why am I surprised you got an F? I made it to the playoffs, though. I was actually red hot for a while. And then I dealt with the injury bug, as the greats typically do, and kind of forced me to fall out of the standings a bit and lost a close one in the playoffs. But why is that not a surprise to you, Mr. GoPokes? You only agree with me when I pick the things you want me to pick. But I got an F because I did my research. I picked guys that not a lot of people were talking about in the fantasy leagues. But I did deep dive research, Michael, the kind of stuff that none of the other competitors do. Plus, I wasn't there last year, so that was unfair.
When I do deep dive research, especially in those brackets, I still always lose.
Because you still pick all Broncos.
No, I'm talking about the NCAA bracket.
Oh. Why are you changing subjects? We're talking about fantasy football, Michael. This is
not
March Madness
time. It's kind of the same thing.
No,
I just find that when I do a lot of research about something...
You don't do any research.
I always end up at about the same place.
You don't do any research. Don't kid yourself.
I just start guessing. No longer do research. I just guess.
Fantasy drafts are going on, and we're looking forward to it here. A lot of trash talk. I think Brian won the whole thing last year. Then Brian comes out and says, I picked all Broncos. This is not the case. I think I picked like one or two. And they didn't even play. I think I had RJ Harvey because he was just available, and I never really played him. So I think I had Courtland Sutton. Maybe I had Courtland Sutton. So I had Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Last year. And Lamar Jackson, the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. I draft him every year. I draft him with my first pick every year. And I will be doing the same. Because I know none of the people in our league will draft him first. So I will be taking Lamar Jackson, number one. I've already made my announcement. My pick is already in.
Brian, I will give you $5 if you...
Brian wouldn't do that to me. Brian would not do that to me. Tanner might do that to me. But
Tanner, I will give you 5 cents.
He can't stand Lamar Jackson. because he doesn't like hot, nasty speed at quarterback, apparently. He doesn't like greatness. He doesn't like electric play by a quarterback. But he won't do that.
Your quarterback being out for 5 weeks a year.
Well, that's a concern, too. But we still do it, man. It's a thing. It's a thing.
I figured you'd pick Go Pokes' guy.
Josh Allen. Why? When have I once said Josh Allen is the most
electric? You're a big Josh Allen fan, too.
What has led you to believe that I'm a big Josh Allen fan? Name one thing that I've said to lead you to believe that I'm a big Josh Allen fan.
I mean, I can't quote them exactly, but you like him quite a bit.
I'm lukewarm on Josh Allen. Not once did I say anything on the show. In fact, Go Pokes and I's rivalry is Lamar and Josh Allen. So, no, to be honest, it's probably more the complete opposite of what you're saying. On this show, I've never sung the praises of Josh Allen.
I figured Josh Allen would be like your number two.
He's a good quarterback. He's just not one that I'm like, oh, must see. He's interesting television. Lamar Jackson is must see television. There's a difference there. Josh Allen, impressive, good, but I don't think I've said anything on this show to indicate that he's like one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. So, you know, maybe get your facts straight, Mike. Get your facts straight on a Monday. So it's time to clean up. It's time to clean it up. It's football season now. We're moving. We're ready. This show's got to kick it up a notch. And that means you've got to be better than who you are. You may not look like a winner, but play like one tonight. Okay, Mike? You may not look like a winner, but play one tonight. Play like one tonight. Aaron texting in, there must be an emotional fantasy season with Lamar Jackson at the helm. What do you mean? Like it's just an emotional pick. Yeah, sure, it is. I have to do it. There was a time in my life where I had to have Clinton Portis. I always drafted Clinton Portis relatively early in fantasy drafts. There's just certain players, Michael. You know this. There's players I latch on to. A lot of times it's in college, and then I just enjoy watching them and watching their career. Clowney was one of those guys. I was a big Jadeveon Clowney guy.
You were a big fan of that Texas, wasn't Texas Tech, who was it? Baylor kid.
The tight end that played basketball?
Yeah, and then their basketball team lost.
Yeah, they lost in the first
round.
Right
off the bat.
Yeah. That's what makes college sports fun for me. I have my teams I root for and things I want to have happen, but I also like to pick out a few players. If I'm sitting around on a Friday night or Saturday night and I'm flipping through and I'm watching college games, sometimes I see a great play being made early in the season and I go, wow, that guy's fun to watch. I like that dude. Who was the old, I can't think, I'm terrible at names now, the old Fresno State quarterback from about 5 or 6 years ago. Just loved watching him play. I've had some of those guys for Wyoming too, where there's just certain players where I really like watching them play football. And so, yeah, I do tag my fandom to players. Sometimes that kills me in fantasy football. Sometimes it really helps. So, yeah, people are gearing up for their fantasy football drafts coming up. No, not Carr. It was after Carr, Go Pokes.
Yeah.
It was after Carr. It was like four or five years ago. I think he was playing for the Saints last I checked.
Under Kalen DeBoer. And then Kalen went to...
What was his name?
I can't remember his name either. But he was
fun.
Thinking of going to a different college, and then he stayed, I think, with Fresno State.
Well, that was kind of before. Wasn't it before the craziness that happened? Was it Jake Haener? Yeah, it was Jake Haener. He played from 2020 to 2022. Because he got drafted by the Saints. So there we go. That's one of them. And I know I'm not really in the minority on this, but Ashton Jeanty, Boise State, loved watching him play. He was amazing. So I kind of get into that, and that's part of the fun for me. So like, even with the Broncos, and I hate to admit this, but I do have a guy that I've targeted as kind of a little mini fan favorite for my own brain, and that's Jonah Coleman. And I hate that he went to the school that you like. That sucks.
Welcome to the club, Brady.
But, you know, I also like the Broncos, and you're obsessed with them, and that hasn't hurt my fandom. So I just have to put that away. But let the record be shown. Let it be shown. Let it be known that I was saying good things about Jonah Coleman well before Everyone's talking about Jonah Coleman right now. Is that fair to say? I said
no,
watch out for Jonah Coleman.
It before you.
You didn't even know the Broncos were going to draft him.
I wasn't sure who was going
to
draft him.
No, but you have to admit, you're a diehard Washington fan. I could care less about Washington. But well before training camp started, I said watch out for Jonah Coleman. I think he's going to be a guy we're not talking about today that we're going to start talking about once training camp starts up. And it sounds like he is playing so well in training camp, he's producing so well, that they have a conundrum. They're trying to figure out, for a head coach that doesn't love to commit to the run game, how do we not only commit to one, two, but three running backs? Now, I saw somebody the other day. Yeah, I was watching NFL Network and their camp stuff where they go around all over the place and they just talk about different teams and they move all over. And one guy was saying, like, we're not paying attention enough to what R.J. Harvey did last year. And I guess yes and no. I mean, for a rookie, I do feel like we didn't give him enough credit for all the touchdowns that he had. But also for a rookie, he had his running back vision wasn't great. So it was kind of that you take the good with the bad, very, you know, reliable pass catcher, a nose for the end zone, but also really struggled with what seemed to be, from the outside looking in, he struggled with obvious running back reading abilities. And I hope that's something that changes this upcoming season for him. But no, I mean, so far, it sounds like Pat Bryant, Jonah Coleman, Red Murdoch, like all those guys are really stepping up here in training camp. Again, training camp is like, it's a double-edged sword because I'm excited it's going because that just means we're that much closer to actual football. But training camp can also be exhausting and misleading because everyone, every day, the people that cover training camp, NFL Network, Denver Post, local outlets in Denver, whatever, they have to formulate some kind of take or observation from camp. They have to. That's their job. They can't just go to camp and say, went to camp today. This is exactly what happened. They have to give you some kind of, whoa, this guy did that. And that could mean a lot. It could mean nothing. That's training camp for you. So I'm ready to just see this team in action on Friday. I'm going to get my notebook out, Mike. We're going to take extensive notes and be ready. I can't believe it's already August 10th. It's wild to me. 23 minutes after the hour. We are going to get into this WNBA stuff. They had a trio of strange stories happen over the weekend. A trio, Michael. One involved Sophie Cunningham, one involved Caitlin Clark, and another involved two former NBA players doing some crazy stuff. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Chris Dempsey going to join us at the bottom of this hour. Get the latest on the Nuggets from him. Top stories of the day. Mark Johnson will join us as well. The voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. All that and more coming up here on The Whole Show. Powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime? Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and The Whole Show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor, the beverage of the week. These new Club Tales cocktails in a can, available in seven different flavors like Blue Hawaiian, Bahama Mama, and Pink Lemonade. You're sure to find your new go-to at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. get the we do our beer of the week, our game beer of the week, and they got the free wine and beer tastings every single Friday at On the Rocks Liquor. We're going to get the latest on this Nugget situation with Peyton Watson, and really interesting. I mean, the further this thing goes out, the more it just feels like his agents maybe feel like the Nuggets kind of screwed him over. I don't know that the Nuggets made a bad move. The only thing I really disagree with the Nuggets on is when they said that we would match a certain number, which apparently that was that $30 million. I just think you say something along the lines of, you know, we're going to match a lot of different offers for Peyton if it comes down to it. But saying 30, I think, scared a lot of teams off, and I think that pissed Watson's agency off. And I know there's Nuggets fans that are like, good, if that's going to bother him that much, then, you know, let him go. That was the priority, though. So, like, don't tell me that this is priority one, and then when it falls, what happens? What happens now that you failed priority one? It does seem like it's just been a quiet offseason for the Nuggets. But we'll catch up with Chris Dempsey coming up here in just a moment, talking all things Denver Nuggets with him, NBA. But first, Mike, I'll tell you what, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Welcome back into the whole show. Switching gears here, talking a little Denver Nuggets with our guy, Chris Dempsey. Chris, my man. I know we got football season. We're getting close. We got preseason action for the Broncos later this week. I'm excited about that. But because of the Peyton Watson stuff, the Nuggets offseason has never ended. We have been in a deep conversation about this. And like you said last week, we may not be ending this conversation anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's there's a lot of runway to go, you know, to get this resolved. I mean, they don't have to have anything resolved until October. So, I think it's a good and bad, right? So it kind of holds us all hostage in terms of what might be happening next. Because we all want this, we want to know what the outcome is going to be here. But it also, when you're in negotiations like this, it gives time for the parties to, kind of huddle up together and come out with a next plan or their next offer to each other. So negotiations obviously are back and forth. The NBA gives these teams a long time to be able to get some of these done, and sometimes it takes that long. So even if there's, even if at the beginning there's a little, if the relationship gets a little bit acrimonious or, you have time for cooler heads to prevail to get to the solution that works for everybody. So, this is a situation where obviously the two parties are not close in terms of what the Nuggets are willing to offer and what Peyton Watson might want in terms of compensation. So can they come to an agreement, or can the Nuggets find a way to sign and trade him? They have a long way to be able to do that.
Chris, do you think, just seeing random reports on this throughout the last week or two, or maybe the last month or so, that Peyton Watson, or maybe in particular his camp, his agency, they feel disrespected by the Nuggets? When you were talking to us a couple of weeks ago, you told us about the Nuggets coming out saying, hey, we're willing to match up to 30, but we're only going to offer like 14 or whatever it was. And I look at that, Chris, and I go, I get both sides, kind of. If I'm Peyton Watson, I'm going, wait a second, you'd match 30, but you're only going to offer me this? So I could see why his camp feels a little disrespected at this point.
It's interesting because
I was just having this conversation earlier today, and you know, the question is what is Peyton Market's Peyton Watson, what's his market fair market value for him? Right now, we know that there's been reports that the Nuggets have offered what, $17 million average per year, I believe, is what that contract was reported as being. You know, and yet and still, then we've had seen reporting where Peyton is looking for a contract at least equal to what Christian Brown got, $25 million. So the question really is what's his market value? And, you know, that's where we're getting this disparity. But also I think this, I think if the Nuggets were in no financial constraints to be able to sign him, I think they would match that. I think they would have already offered him something like $25 million in that area. But because of their financial situations and because of their desire to really actually want to keep him, they're trying to do it in the least for the least amount of money possible. That also allows them to have a manageable luxury tax bill. So, you know, they're trying to do a couple of things at once here, and I just think that their financial situation is leading them to a conclusion that might not be the conclusion that they would have come to if they would have had just unlimited cap space to be able to sign them. And I think that's where Peyton Watson is kind of like, okay, well, wait. If your financial situation was fine, you would probably be offering the money that, or similar, we'd be a lot closer in the numbers in terms of what I want and what you would be willing to give me in that respect. So if that's going to be the case, if that would have been the case in the first place, then this is definitely not my fair market value. So, and then on the flip side of this, you have some teams that feels like they're willing to pay a lot more closely to what Watson might want. And I'm talking about the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Clippers, which that situation is, who knows where that's going right now. So I might just take them off the table with Kawhi Leonard's situation being up in the air. In terms of him being traded and what the roster is even going to even look like going into the fall. But there are suitors out there that appear willing to pay what Peyton Watson is looking for and then compensate the Nuggets somehow to be able to do that. But obviously the Nuggets are in second apron, so now they have to be able to get out of that to be able to execute a sign-in trade. So a lot of moving parts here, but I do believe that that's where – Peyton Watson's camp is kind of like, well, hold on. This is what we think we're worth. This is what we think you would have paid us in the first place. So we think you should just offer that to us now.
Yeah, it is. They are in a tough spot right now, no question. Chris, how did it get to this? Is this as easy as saying, hey, they had two guys, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown. They chose Christian Brown to give him that contract. They didn't really think necessarily that both guys would work out to play up to the, you know, the 20s to mid 20s mark. So they just missed. I mean, does it go back to the decision, you know, between the two guys to say, hey, we're giving Christian Brown the money and Watson will probably end up, you know, he's not going to be this type of a star this early. Did they just make the wrong decision between those two guys?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I don't think it was necessarily wrong to give Christian Brown his money, and I think that's a short answer to that. The short answer to that is yes, they could have waited. They could have just waited and had both of them up this summer. You know what I'm saying? And now you can make different financial decisions given given the fact that you would have both of those players in restricted free agents status at this time. I think this goes back farther than that. And, you know, for the Nuggets, this is an organization, especially under Tim Connelly and then Calvin Booth, that likes to sign players early to contract extensions. So I'm talking about a year or two before their current contract ends. Now, you would do that because, A, they think the player is worth it. One, let's just get that out there off the table. But two, you're able to lock players in at some rates that are a little bit cheaper than, say, waiting one more year. The player plays great again, and now you're going to have to pay him more money than you would have if you just signed them the summer before. So, given those two factors, the Nuggets signed players early. And one of the things that they did right prior to the second apron coming into effect in 2024 was you had contract extensions already agreed to or signed or going to kick in for Jokic and Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and then Michael Porter Jr. And so what that did, because they signed those they committed all those dollars to those players right prior to when the second apron came into effect. Well, what's happened is that money is really hurting them right now. So if you just take Murray, Jokic, and Gordon contracts right now, those three players account for 55% of their cap right now. And then if you tossed in Christian Brown and then Cam Johnson, that's 73% of their cap right now. And you obviously can't – so now whatever's left, you have to split between 10 more players. You still have to round out your roster. And we see that the money committed, those big salary dollars committed to just a few players – has now made it so that they can't pay really good role players, really good rates to be able to round out the roster in a deep way. If you just look at their summer so far, you're talking about one-year minimum contracts to Tyus Jones, to Marvin Bagley, to Alpha Diablo, Diallo, and then the training camp contract to Lonnie Walker the fourth, which would be a vet minimum if he makes the team. And that's all you can do because you've already have so many dollars committed to so few players. And so because that was the case, and then you signed Christian Brown, you put yourself in a situation to where you're aproned out. And then if you have any player that you want to retain, this was a situation that was going to happen. So I think this is a long runway of the way the Nuggets used to do business that has led them to this point. And Brady, I think this will change as these, you know, these bigger contracts start falling off their books in subsequent years. So what you can't do, I think this is league-wide, and this is not just a Nugget situation. Used to be that a team could have, and absolutely wanted, you got to have three stars, right? Three max contract players to be able to call yourself, put yourself in contending status. Well, now that is going to... In my opinion, what we'll see these teams start to do is cap that out at two. There's no more than two players on a max contract on any team, and more ideally one. Because what that will do then is it's going to raise your floor. You're going to be able to pay really good players really good money, but you're not going to max out your cap and then be not able to be nimble in terms of adding or acquiring talent or trading players, that kind of stuff. So, in other words, instead of having – one player making Nikola, I think he's making something over $50 million this year, and I believe Jamal Murray's in that same, is very similar to that. And then you have Aaron Gordon up over 30. What I think what that would look like in the future is you would have like say $50 million, and then the next one would be 20, and then what you would have is like 20, 15, and then a number of like 15, 17, 15 to 18 million dollar players. Really good role players, really good utility players, but what you're not doing is your roster isn't top heavy with salary that now is making it so that you can't fill your roster with really other good players. So I think we're going to see that with the San Antonio Spurs. They have now paid Victor Wembanyama. He will be the only one making by far that much money on that basketball team. And then, you know, for your Dylan Harpers and your Stephon Castles and those, they're going to be making really good dollars, but they just won't be max dollars.
Chris, what are you hearing about, like, as far as other free agents? DeMar DeRozan's name keeps coming up. I don't know if that's a serious link to the Nuggets and everything that you've outlined with us. Every move I look at and say, do you have move to do anything here? Right. But DeMar DeRozan, that's certainly a name that's popped up, whether it's legit or not. What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, if he's going to play for the vet minimum,
right?
Then,
yeah.
but that's you know, I doubt it. You know, I mean, he's earned the right to make at least. I mean, he's not going to make max contract dollars, but he's earned the right to not make, you know, whatever that's going to be, $3 million or whatever. So, just on salary alone, I would say it's very unlikely to, you know, that he would be a part of the Nuggets organization. I think if that were the case, they wouldn't have tried to, they wouldn't have signed Lonnie Walker to a training camp deal. You know, they've done a lot of knick-knack stuff kind of around, you know, to kind of try to fill out their roster right now. And not that they're done, and not that they couldn't clear something out to be able to add him in. I just don't see that as a, I'd be pretty surprised if he was, you know, a Nuggets player, in the fall, given the current state of their roster.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Every time I see a story like that, I kind of brush it off because I'm like, that doesn't seem legitimate. That doesn't seem realistic with everything the Nuggets have going on. Chris, my man, always appreciate your insight, and we'll continue monitoring the saga that is the Peyton Watson Denver Nuggets edition here with you throughout the rest of the offseason.
Yeah, no, it'll be fun to see. It's really fascinating to me that how this is all going down.
Oh yeah.
But certainly it is dragging. We all would like a resolution, so we can really talk about this roster, you know, really project it out in a real way. But yeah, can't wait to keep talking about it.
No question, man. Dempsey, always appreciate you, my man, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. See ya.
Chris Dempsey. Yeah, I mean, like, I see the DeMar DeRozan thing. And there's heat, there's interest from the Heat, the Nuggets, the Cavs, and the Wizards. But if, I mean, he had a $25.7 million expiring contract that was waived by the Kings. He received the $10 million guaranteed portion of that contract. Is he willing to play on the vet minimum, which is that $4 million? I don't see that happening. Unless he just really wants to play with Joker. It's just a weird offseason, man. It just seems like it's a tired roster right now that still possesses the ability to go into the playoffs, maybe even deep into the playoffs, but it just seems tired, and they didn't really do much to wake it up this offseason. 49 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. I'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Mostly WNBA stuff. Yeah, I know, right? You're getting the talk, but can you handle it? We'll be right back.
Your local news during your commute. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Buffs Insider for BuffBlitz.com for the On3 Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'm going to give some tickets away. I got a pair of tickets. Now, it's not like the tickets form. These are just a piece of paper, but it has the information that you need. It acts as your ticket, Michael, so it's not fancy. But for UNC taking on Weber State in about 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks, Michael, that first game under the lights at Nottingham Field, I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to those right now. Well, at the end of the show, at the end of the hour. My gosh, can't talk. That's going to be exciting. And you're going too, right, Mike? You're officially going.
I believe so, yes.
And we're going to be setting up shop there thanks to our friends at Interior Sprinkler Systems. Coach Speak will be out there at 10 o'clock. I'll be out there doing my show from 11 to 2. The fellas, including myself, from Rocky Mountain Kickoff are going to be out there from 2 to 4. So it's going to be a celebration, man. It's a special, significant time in UNC Bears history, and I'm hoping they can get a dub with all of this, and we can make this a night to remember. So I'll give away a pair of tickets right now. Caller number 10. Does that work for you, Mike?
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work.
Caller number 10, 970-353-1310. That's the First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. If you're caller number 10, you get a pair of tickets to go check out the game. Come hang out with us. Come watch this football game, and let's celebrate something huge going on, not just for the University of Northern Colorado, but I think for the community as well. So it's going to be fun. And I'm excited to talk to Coach Lamb on Football 52. This week, it feels like we're going to make more of that transition into game week. We're going to start talking about Weber State a little bit more. How much he'll be willing to give us, I'm not sure. But that game is going to be fun. And I'm going, Mike. Friday night, for me, I'm going to be out there. And I will not sign autographs, not this time. I got a deal now. I'm under different contracts. So I can't do that. So come out and join us. It'll be a lot of fun. As we see this Bears team, I think it's going to be much better than they were last year. And they were on the improve, and they were in a lot of close football games last season. And I think they turn it around, and they win some of those close games this year.
7 wins.
You finally figured out the math of the games?
Yeah,
you finally
I thought got that? They only played 11.
Yeah, that was tough for you. You were having a hard time figuring that out. But you got there. You got there, Mike.
Math hurt brain.
Callers keep calling. I see it. Caller 10, you got a pair of tickets to go see UNC take on Weber State August 28th for the first ever game under the lights at Nottingham Field. Top stories of the day coming up next. Yes, we're going to talk about this WNBA drama that took place over the weekend. We'll be right back.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.